Hello and welcome. Yes, welcome to Madrid en Inglés. Madrid in English, a tour, a colorful educational tour of our capital, Madrid, and of our region, La Comunidad de Madrid. Learn English with me, Richard Vaughan, using Madrid as our base of operations. Let's go. Hello and good morning and welcome. Yes, welcome to a new program on Onda Madrid. Yes, this is completely new, el primer día, the very first day. The first day is el primer día. The very first day is el primerísimo día. Okay. And this is the very first day of Madrid en Inglés. Madrid in English, eso que es. What's Madrid in English or Madrid en Inglés? It's a program offered by me. My name is Richard Vaughan. I'm here to introduce this program on Onda Madrid, Madrid en Inglés. What is my objective? What is my goal? Mi objetivo, mi meta. Yes, to teach English. During this hour and future hours, many hours, I hope, in the future, I'll stop sometimes along the way. But my objective is to expose you, to expose your ear, exponer el oído de usted, ustedes, to expose your ear to the English language. And I'm going to use Madrid, the city of Madrid and the province or community of Madrid, as the backdrop. The backdrop is a telón de fondo. Yes. Background, no. En este caso se dice backdrop. Todo junto. Backdrop is telón de fondo lo que voy a hablar. I'm going to talk about Madrid. Not only the Plaza Mayor and the Puerta del Sol and the Plaza Castilla and the Castellana y Calle Alcalá and the Parque del Oeste. No. I'm going to talk about Alpedrete y Villalba on one corner and Aranjuez on the other corner. Or Alcalá de Henares on another corner, or San Martín de Valle Iglesias on another corner. I've been living in Madrid for 51 years. Long time, my God. Casi desde el siglo XIII, parece. Okay, I've been living in this city. I came here at the age of 20. En inglés decimos a la edad de. También se puede decir en español, pero se suele decir a los 20 años. A la edad de 20. I came here at the age of 20, as a student. I did my third year of my university degree in Madrid. A bit similar to the Erasmus programs, the Erasmus programs you have now in the European universities. And I like Madrid. I love Madrid. Madrid is my favorite city in the world. Really, Richard? Is Madrid your favorite city in the world? Well, it perhaps is. Madrid is an acquired taste. Madrid is an acquired taste. Un gusto adquirido. As the longer you live in Madrid, the more you like it, the more you appreciate it, the more you discover its secrets, and the more it discovers you and brings you into its embrace. Te trae a su abrazo. Yes, Madrid. But I love many cities. I was born in Houston. Soy tejano. I'm from Texas. Muchos me tachan de inglés. No sé por qué. I don't know. Maybe because they understand me when I speak English. And many people in Spain, si le entiendo, no será americano, será inglés. Usually it's the opposite. In my opinion, it's easier to understand. For Spanish people, my experience, and I have a lot of experience in this, it's easier for Spanish people to understand Americans than to understand British people. With exceptions, of course, many exceptions, but in general. But I was born in Houston, Texas, and I grew up in Houston. Well, I grew up partially. My first 9 years were in Houston, and they were very good years. I love Houston. So I have a special love for Houston, Texas as well. Then my father was transferred by his company to Oklahoma. to Tulsa, Oklahoma. 300,000 people. A small city, no, similar to Valladolid, perhaps in Spain. Oklahoma is a state just north, immediately north of Texas, crossing the Red River, el famoso Rio Rojo, de John Wayne y John Ford, el director, yes. And so in Tulsa, I lived there for nine years. From age 9 to age 18. So I did the last years of primary school and all of my secondary education and baccalaureate in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Wonderful city, a rich city, because Tulsa is a city that was built on oil. Yeah. Many years ago, Tulsa was called the oil capital of the world. La capital mundial de petróleo. Now, no, it's not. The oil capital of the world is Riyadh, maybe in Saudi Arabia. But Tulsa is still a very important and very rich and very interesting city. And so I love Tulsa, too. I love Houston and I love Tulsa. Then, at age 18, I chose a university in the city of Dallas, in the northern part of Texas. So I returned to Texas, crossing the Red River in the opposite direction. And I spent 2 years in Dallas at a private university called SMU, or Southern Methodist University. Very good school. And I fell in love with Dallas. Me enamoré de Dallas. I fell in love with Dallas. I love Dallas. Very nice. And then I came to Spain. I came to Spain for my third year of the university. In the United States, like in most countries in Europe, the standard university time to get your undergraduate degree, titulación de grado o carrera universitaria, licenciatura perhaps, is 4 years. However, similar to Europe with el programa, los programas Erasmus, the Erasmus programs, back when I was 20, they had a similar program. And so I came to Spain when I was 20 years old as a student, and I spent one academic year in Madrid. And I fell in love with Madrid. Okay. And then I returned to Texas. I went back to Texas. I returned. And I transferred my university credits to Austin, Texas, to the main campus of the University of Texas. Yeah, I'll tell you more. Voy a ampliar mucho sobre estas historias más adelante en otros programas. But I'm going to tell you much more. And I spent 1 year in Austin, la capital, the capital of Texas. Fantastic city. Fantastic city. So I love Austin, Texas as well. During the year I was in Spain previously as a student, my father was again transferred by his company back to Texas, but to the coast, la Costa Tejana, en el Golfo de México. Yeah, Texas tiene mucha, tiene 700 kilómetros, about 800 kilómetros de costa. Texas has a coastline. Many people in Spain don't realize this. And my father was transferred, my mother and my parents were transferred to Corpus Christi, Texas. It's a fantastic city. I love it. I love Corpus Christi. Located on the Gulf of Mexico and not too far from the Mexican border. Yes. And I never lived there except visiting my parents. But I ended up spending quite a bit of time in Corpus Christi, and I love that city. So for the moment, I love Houston. I love, se me encanta. I love no solo yo amo, yo quiero. Yo te quiero, I love you. But love is me encanta. Me encanta Madrid. I love Madrid. Me gusta Madrid is I like Madrid. Okay, I like Madrid. I like Spain, etc. I like Onda Madrid. Now, I love is más que me gusta. Me encanta. All right, so I love Houston. I love Tulsa, Oklahoma. I love Dallas, Texas. I love Austin, the capital. And I love Madrid. So there are five cities who are competing for my true love. Mi amor verdadero, mi verdadero amor. All right. What city? Well, I love them all. It's the attitude you have in life. If you have a positive attitude about life in general, people, events in life, if your attitude is healthy and positive, usually you like any place you live. Because when you're a happy person, if you have positive attitudes, external factors are less important. External factors are less influential on your happiness and on your success, in my opinion. And so every city is lovely, and you fall in love with every city. Now, I'm not sure if I would fall in love with Kinshasa, the capital of the Congo, or Karachi, the largest city in Pakistan. I'm not sure if I would fall in love with certain other cities, but you never know. Once you begin to live in a city, you start to discover its secrets. And I've discovered a lot of secrets about Madrid. Now, when I was 20 years old, I came to Madrid for the first time, and I spent 1 year as an academic year. And then, as I said earlier, I returned to Texas, to the University of Texas in Austin to finish my degree, to complete my degree or my studies, to get my bachelor's degree, which is licenciatura, titulación de grado. And then I needed to make a decision. I needed to make a decision about my future. And I didn't know what I wanted to do. Normal. I had no idea. ¿Qué quiero ser de mayor? Pues ya era mayor. All right. And so I made a decision to come back to Spain at the age of 22 this time. With the idea of spending 2 years here to perfect my mastery, perfeccionar mi dominio, to perfect my mastery of English, of Spanish, and then to return to the University of Texas in Austin to pursue a doctorate. Se dice en inglés perseguir un doctorado, o sea, intentar hacer con éxito un doctorado. A PhD or a doctorate. In English, you can say PhD, which is Doctor of Philosophy, or a doctorate. In Spanish, literature. Well, literatura en lengua española, which includes, of course, South American literature, Central American. You know, I liked the literature. I had a degree. From the University of Texas, I had a double degree, doble titulación, in Spanish language and literature, llamémoslo filología española, and in philosophy. And so I decided to return to Spain for 2 years to perfect my Spanish, with the idea of going back at the age of 24 to begin the work on getting my doctorate in Spanish literature. Now, and so I needed to find a job and start working. And I started working. I found a job as an English teacher. Toma, profesor de inglés. In 1974, August 1974. And I repeat, my idea was to stay in Spain for only 2 years. But by the second year, I had a very interesting job in La Central Nuclear de Zorita, in La Alcarria, Guadalajara, en medio de la nada, a orillas del Tajo. no como Antonio Machado, quien durante 5 años estuvo a orillas del Duero. Yo a orillas del Tajo, pero en una central nuclear. ¿Eh? Así que resplandezco en la oscuridad todavía. I still glow in the dark, maybe, I don't know. But I was the teacher for the nuclear plant de Unión Eléctrica, hoy Naturgy. All right. And so I had a good job. I was making good money, and I postponed the return to Spain. Excuse me, the return to the United States, ¿qué digo yo? And then I postponed it again, and finally, I never returned. And I have been living in Spain permanently for 50 years, cadena perpetua. Pero con placer. All right. And in Madrid, all of this time. I lived in Guadalajara, in Almonacid de Zorita y Zorita los Canes, in La Alcarria, next to the plant for 1 year. But the rest of the time in Madrid. So really, I have lived in Madrid for almost 50 years. 49. Yes. So I have a lot of experience walking the streets of Madrid, driving around the province of Madrid, driving to the north to Miraflores, or driving to the north up to Somosierra, or driving to Puerto de los Leones, or over Navacerrada, of course, or driving up to El Escorial and to Valdemorillo up in these areas, or driving from Madrid to Ávila, through Valdemorillo and El Escorial. It's very beautiful. Or driving south to Aranjuez. Or driving to Guadalajara or to La Central Nuclear de Zorita through Mondejar y Almoguera. Or another route to Alcalá de Henares and Pezuela de las Torres and Escopete and Escariche. And they're very interesting towns. And I've been everywhere. I have traveled probably more than I would perhaps risk telling you, arriesgar, that maybe I have traveled around Spain more than almost anybody in Spain. I will tell you my history, the history of my my life. But I'm going to focus on the history of my life in Madrid, in the province or community of Madrid, talking about this city and this province. Very interesting. All of Spain is interesting. It's fascinating. Spain is a fascinating country. Every country, I imagine, is fascinating. France is a fascinating country. Italy, the United States. I love the United States. I love Mexico. I've been there many times. Of course, Italy is a museum in itself. Like Spain, beautiful scenery, beautiful food, interesting people, and interesting architecture, art, museums, and everything. But Spain is a country that now receives enormous amount of tourists, enormous. Together with France and the United States, it's the top three countries in the number of tourists. Spain has so much to offer. And I think that Spain and the Spanish people underestimate their potential. There's a joke, un chiste. There's a joke about a Latin American country that for Spain, I would tell the joke the opposite. It's al revés para España. Ese chiste sobre un país latinoamericano, pues, lo expresaría al revés para españoles. I would buy the Spanish people, including, of course, the people in Madrid. I would buy the Spanish people for what they think they're worth, and I would sell them for what they are potentially worth. I would buy the Spanish people. Compraría unos a los españoles por lo que piensan que valen. y os vendería por lo que valéis de verdad. Which means the Spanish people have greater potential than they think. The Spanish people have always sold themselves cheaply, in my opinion. Spain and the Spanish people have an incredible potential, and they have not realized that potential for many reasons. If you study Spanish history, you understand perhaps some of the reasons. But it's a very interesting country, and Madrid, the capital, is a fascinating city. But of course, Seville is a fascinating city. Barcelona is a fascinating city. Valencia, my God. Bilbao, Zaragoza, La Coruña. Every city. Santander is a beautiful city. And of course, San Sebastian. And Granada. Sevilla es una maravilla. Y los sevillanos dicen, y Granada no es nada. That's not true. Granada is one of the most interesting cities in the world. And Madrid as well. But here I'm going to talk about Madrid. Today is an introduction more than talking about Madrid. But I'm going to talk about Madrid, as I said, from Villalba to Aranjuez, and from San Martín de Valdeiglesias to donde que sé yo, to Alcalá de Henares, y más lejos todavía. All right. And so, but I will also talk about the city. I will talk about the Plaza Mayor, the Puerta del Sol, Cibeles, Neptuno, of course, the Castellana, el Antiguo, what was it called? Avenida del Generalísimo, como la Diagonal en Barcelona, también era la Avenida del Generalísimo. Okay, but now it's La Diagonal in Barcelona and the El Paseo de la Castellana, Calle Recoletos. Bueno, Calle no, Paseo de Recoletos. Paseo del Prado, finally, and you reach Atocha. And then you can go down Méndez Álvaro, which is the old El Bajo Abrunigal River. Yes, para llegar a la Abrunigal. It's interesting. Madrid's a very interesting city. And I'll talk about the streets, Manuel Becerra, antes Plaza de Roma, or Calle del Limón, Calle de la Luna, La Pensión Gracia in Calle de la Luna, where you have Gracia de Triana, la cantadora sevillana, que regentaba durante muchos años La Pensión Gracia, cuando ya no podía cantar tan bien como antes. And I met her, I spent probably about 6 or 7 days on 2 different occasions living in the Pensión Gracia. And I lived on the Pintor Rosales. And I lived on Calle de los Dos Amigos. ¿A que no sabes dónde está? I'll tell you, not today maybe, but I'll tell you in a future program. La Calle de los Dos Amigos. And I lived on the Travesía del Conde Duque. And I lived in the Barrio La Estrella, and I lived along Doctor Izquierdo, and I lived in the Barrio de la Concepción, and I lived near Arturo Soria, and I've lived in Corte Gasset, and I've lived in Francisco Suárez. I've lived in my life, I've lived in 34 different houses. 34 different houses. And the last house where I live now, I've been in my current house for 5 years. The first time I coincided with one of the neighbors in the elevator, I asked him, "How long have you been living in this building?" And he said, "Desde que nací. Llevo 73 años en este edificio." So he, all his life, he's lived in one single building, and I have lived in 34. Big difference. It's a big difference, but it's interesting. And so I'm going to speak today and next week and the following week and the week after that and the week after that about Madrid and about many other things. But la base de operaciones será Madrid. My base of operations in this program of Madrid en Inglés will be the city and the community or province of Madrid. And it's going to be fun. Me lo voy a pasar muy bien. I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to have fun. And I hope you enjoy it. And I hope your English is enough to appreciate this program, to benefit from it, because the final objective is not really to familiarize you with Madrid, the city and the province. My objective is to help you continue to improve your English through the subject and base of operations, which is Madrid. But I'll be back in just a few minutes. This is only the first half hour. I'll be back.
El mejor restaurante que puedas imaginar es tu casa. Y para que así sea, el Asador Villaranda es tu fiel aliado. Asados en horno de leña al estilo segoviano. Llévatelo a casa y guarda nuestro secreto.
¿Qué pasará?
Rafael vuelve a Madrid con su gira triunfal. 20 y 21 de diciembre en el Wizzing Center. Compra tus entradas en rafaelnet.com y El Corte Inglés. Rafael en concierto.
En Royal Home vendemos tu casa sin sorpresas. Nos encargamos de todo y te regalamos el vaciado. Confía en Royal Home, tu inmobiliaria. Encuéntranos en royalhome.es.
¿No sería bonito heredar un mundo lleno de oportunidades? Haz tu testamento solidario a favor de Cruz Roja para dejar un mundo más justo. Transforma tu compromiso en educación, empleo, compañía. Infórmate en testamentosolidario.cruzrojamadrid.com o en el 666-454304. Cruz Roja. Testamento solidario.
¿Necesitas guardar tus muebles en espera de nueva vivienda o reforma? Confía en Estebaranz. Llevamos los contenedores a tu casa para una mínima manipulación. Mudanzas y guardamuebles Estebaranz. Desde siempre a tu lado.
Onda Madrid. 101.3 y 106 FM.
Hello and welcome back. All right, welcome back to our second half hour of this very first program of Madrid en Inglés. Madrid in English. And as I told you in the last half hour, the first half hour of the history of this program, I am using Madrid and the province or the community of Madrid as a base station, estación base, or base operaciones, the base of operations for helping you to improve your English. My objective is to expose you to English and using the fascinating story of the city of Madrid and the fascinating possibilities that the city and the province of Madrid offer. I mean, we can, as I said in the first half hour, we can talk about the Calle Arenal and its history, or we can talk about whatever. We can talk about the Plaza de Castilla and its history. We can talk about El Parque del Oeste. We can talk about El Retiro. We can talk about Avenida General Perón and why the statue of Mr. Perón is still there. Okay. And there are many, many interesting things about Madrid. But we can also talk about Talamanca del Jarama. And we can also talk about Buitrago de los Hoya. We can also talk about San Martín de Valdeiglesias, or about many other places, Brunete. We could talk about Valdemorillo and Valdemoro. And of course, Pinto as well. We can talk about Mondéjar, but Mondéjar, I believe, is in Guadalajara, in La Carria. But we can talk about many, many different Pezuela de las Torres. And we can talk about many things from this province. But again, my objective is English. And I think I am Bueno, I think I'm an expert. There's a saying in Spanish. Well, there's a saying in English, too. Nobody's a prophet in their own land. Nadie es profeta en su tierra. Esta no es mi tierra, then. No es mi tierra natal, ni de crianza. Eso me da, tal vez, derecho a ser profeta. ¿Puedo profetizar? ¿Puedo? I don't know. But I can talk about Madrid. But again, the objective is your English. I've been living in Madrid. In all, I have spent 51 years in Madrid. My first year from in the academic year 1972-73, I was in Madrid. And in 1973, in the summer, June 1973, I returned to the United States, to Austin, Texas, to complete my degree, finalizar mis estudios, completar mis estudios universitarios, to complete, escrito complete, to complete my degree at the University of Texas, Transferidos Créditos de la SMUA, Texas. And then I had to make a choice. As I said in the last half hour, I had to decide what to do with my life. ¿Qué hago con mi vida ahora? And so I decided to return to Madrid. I decided to come back. And I came back in the summer of 1974, August. Well, yes, I would say late July. Since then, well, my initial idea was to stay here for only 2 years and then go back to the States to do a doctorate in Spanish literature, a PhD. But in order to stay here for 2 years and perfect my mastery of Spanish, I needed to work. I needed to find a job. I needed to make money. I needed to make ends meet. Llegar a fin de mes. Hacer que los cabos se unan. To make ends meet. Ends son terminaciones o cabos. Cabos sueltos son loose ends. To make ends meet means to poner comida en la mesa. You got a fin de mes. To make ends meet. And so I need to start working. And I started working as an English teacher. Hasta hoy, cadena perpetua. A life sentence. Pero cadena perpetua placentera. Ojo. It's a very pleasurable life sentence. 50 years, man. 50 years. 51, counting the student year before. But 50 years permanently. That's a long time. And so I'm very familiar with Madrid, the city. And I'm very familiar with the community or province of Madrid. I'm very familiar with Spain. I probably know Spain better than, maybe I know Spain better than anybody. I know every province except Melilla, which is not a province. It's a ciudad autonómica or autónoma. Melilla, no, I've been to Ceuta, but I've never been to Melilla. And another province, I've been to every province. Except, I've been to every province. There are 50 provinces in Spain. The same as in the United States. There are 50 states in the United States. Plus the territory of Puerto Rico and Guam and the American Virgin Islands. But in Spain, there are 50 provinces and 2 autonomous cities. And I've been to all except 1 autonomous city. And to many of the provinces, I have been many times. I've been to Salamanca many times, to Zamora many times, to Orense many times, to Lugo twice, to La Coruña and to Pontevedra many, many times. I've been to all of the provinces in Catalonia. I've been to Tarragona and to Barcelona, to Girona and to Lérida. And I've been, of course, to Teruel many times. I've been to Zaragoza and to Huesca. I've been to Sosterre Católico in the northwest of the province of Zaragoza. Sosterre Católico. Do you know why it's called el Rey Católico? Well, is because Ferdinand of Aragon was born in Sos. Originally, of course, the name of the village, una aldea, bueno, un pequeño pueblo, a small town called Sos. And the mother, when she was pregnant with Ferdinand of Aragon, the future Ferdinand of Aragon, she was in Navarre. I think in Olite. Because also Carlos de Viana was another son of the King Rey Juan de Aragon. He was in Olite as well. But she knew that her baby was coming. And so quickly, she wanted her future son or daughter to be born in Aragon, in Aragon, not in Navarre. And so she traveled from Olite or from Pamplona, I don't remember where, and she crossed the border into the kingdom of Aragon. And the first village was Sos. And there she gave birth to Ferdinand of Aragon. And shortly, many years later, of course, the name was changed from Sos to Sos del Rey Católico. All right. And you see, these are little things about Spain. Although I'm going to focus on Madrid, I will talk about other areas of Spain as well. Madrid became the capital, I think, in 1561. Philip II named Madrid the capital. Before that, the capital was Valladolid and Toledo. They moved sometimes. But Madrid became a more important city at that time. A few years later, the Duke of Lerma, he moved the capital from Madrid to Valladolid in 1601. And then 5 years later, in 1606, I think he moved it back to Madrid. Probably it was a real estate question. Real estate means inmobiliaria, una cuestión inmobiliaria, because probably the Duke of Lerma, by the way, the Duke of Lerma was not from Lerma. I think the Duke of Lerma was from Gandia. I don't know. I'm going to look it up. Lo voy a mirar. I'm going to look it up right now. Let's see. Duque de Lerma. D-U-Q-U-E de Lerma. I think it's Gandia, but it could be, I don't know. Let's see. Francisco de Sandoval y Rojas. Primera Duque. ¿Dónde nació? Where was he born? Nacimiento Tordesillas. All right. That's strange. I could have sworn. Se dice en inglés, podría haber jurado. I could have sworn. No, he was born in Tordesillas. Okay. Yeah. He was born in Tordesillas. I thought he was born in the region of Valencia. El rey le nombró virrey de Valencia in 1595. Okay, ahora empieza. Now I'm starting to understand perhaps my confusion. I don't know. But in any case, he moved the capital from Madrid to Valladolid in 1601, probably to make some money, a lot of money, for himself or for the government, maybe the government, el Estado, maybe the government needed money. And so probably what the Duke of Lerma did was to buy land or to buy houses and land in Valladolid at relatively low prices and then to announce the transfer of the capital from Madrid to Valladolid. But before doing that, he sold a lot of land at a very good price in Madrid. So there are two operations or two transactions. Transactions in Madrid, selling at high prices, and buying property in Valladolid at low prices, and then declaring the move or the transfer to Valladolid, and suddenly it was the opposite. Yes. And the property and the real estate in Madrid collapsed, and in Valladolid it went up very high, and so and he bought and sold again, and then moved it back. A brilliant move, but not very, very, not very ethical. But it's one way of making money, especially if the state coffers, se dicen esos cofres del Estado, especially if the state coffers need money. That was a very effective way for the Duque de Lerma during the reinado. Ah, lluvia y reinado suenan iguales. Yes. Llovió mucho durante su reinado. It rained very much during his reign. Rain. But the spelling is different, of course. Rain como lluvia es rain escrito. Rain, la lluvia. And rain como reinado es reign, gemuda. Regno, sin la O al final. Rain. Rain. Y para complicaros la vida todavía más, las riendas de un caballo similar son reins. Las riendas are the reins, como las lluvias. But the spelling in this case is different as well. Es como reinado, pero sin la G muda. R-E-I-N. Normally, of course, in plural. Reins. For a horse. But in any case, so this is just one little moment in the history of Madrid. There are 1,000 interesting moments in the history of Madrid, a history that includes Lope de Vega, of course. Also, Francisco de Quevedo and Luis de Góngora. Miguel de Cervantes at certain points, but it's a very interesting city. Madrid is a relatively young city compared to others in Spain. Toledo, Córdoba, Seville, and of course, Barcelona and Tarragona and Valencia, Sagunto, of course, and others are a lot older. Lisbon and Oporto in Portugal are older than Madrid. Although Madrid was Maderit, and was always a very old city, but it was probably a small village in Roman times 2,000 years ago because it's along the Manzanares River. It's Manzanares River. And where you have a river with fresh water, in English, it's fresh, agua fresca. Para lo que se dice en español, agua dulce, fresh water. Agua salada, agua dulce, salt water, fresh water. And of course, the Manzanares River provides fresh water. And so it would be natural that maybe 2,000 years ago, there was a very small community along the river that by the year 1000, under Moorish control, Muslim control was Maderit, or similar. And by the Middle Ages, maybe in the year 1300, it became Christian later, and around the year 1100, I'm not sure. And finally, it became an important community because of its central location on the Iberian Peninsula. Curioso, in the country, in el país, in la península. In the country, on the peninsula, on the Iberian Peninsula. I don't know why. In the peninsula, suena un poco raro. On the peninsula. And so Madrid is an acquired taste for me. Madrid is an acquired taste. Un gusto adquirido. Madrid, when people visit, for example, when people visit Barcelona for the first time, it makes a strong impact immediately. Las Ramblas, Plaza Catalunya, Las Ramblas, the port, the Barrio Gótico, the Gothic Quarter, the Montjuïc, of course, the Plaza de España and the palaces in that area, the Tibidabo, the Sagrada Familia, the Sacred Family or Holy Family, Parque Güell, the Gaudi architecture. It's an impressive city. It's really, really pretty. Interesting city. And it makes an impact right away. Madrid doesn't. It doesn't make an impact right away. However, if you stay in Madrid long enough, if you live in Madrid, you begin to like it more than Barcelona. I love Barcelona. I love that city, but I prefer Madrid. I prefer Madrid. I enjoy visiting Barcelona, but I prefer Madrid. And so it's an acquired taste. It's a younger city than Barcelona. Barcino or Barcino, Barcino was the old Roman, during Roman times, was the name for Barcelona. But Madrid, I don't think it had a name in Roman times. But again, I came to Madrid at the age of 20. My very first contact. I came to Spain. My first contact was in Spain was Barcelona. I came with a group of students from Southern Methodist University in Dallas. We met up in New York. We met up. Nos reunimos. Nos agrupamos. We met up in New York and flew to Paris. We spent 1 week in Paris. And then we took a night train from Paris to Barcelona. We stayed in Barcelona for 2 weeks along the La Diagonal in the University of Barcelona near Pedralbes. At that time, La Diagonal was called Avenida del Generalísimo, por supuesto, of course, 1972, August 1972. And then after 2 wonderful weeks in Barcelona, we came to Madrid. And that was my first contact with Madrid, August 1972. I'm not going to talk about it. I'll come back to this moment in the next program next week. But for the moment, I'm going to tell you that I came to Madrid. People say, ¿Por qué viniste a España? Why did you come to Spain? Well, I came to Spain because I was at the university in Dallas, and because I knew Spanish a little bit, well, a little bit or a lot, really, I had studied Spanish for 6 years in secondary school in Oklahoma, in Tulsa. And when I went to the university at the age of 18, I basically decided I was not interested in learning in Spanish. I had taken Spanish for 6 years simply because, why not? My life has always been, why not? Safi. But when I, at the university, I realized that I could gain 12 credits through examination. The American university system, for many different subjects or areas, offer what is called placement tests or placement exams, in which case, by sitting down and taking an exam, you can gain credits and you don't need to take the course. For example, if there's a course in cálculo integral, and integral calculus, and it's 1 semester, so you need to go to class for 1 semester 2 or 3 times a week in order to pass the exam. In order to pass the subject. Aprobar la asignatura. In order to pass the subject. However, you can take an exam, and if you can demonstrate mastery of integral calculus, you don't need to go to the course. They give you the 3 credits corresponding to that 1 semester subject. In order to graduate from an American university, you need usually 120 credits, which requires usually 4 years. However, through exams, you can advance that. You can speed up, acelerar la graduación a 3 años o 3 años y medio. You can speed it up through taking these exams and demonstrating that you have mastery of that particular subject. So I decided to take a placement exam in Spanish. And I had a perfect score, except for 1 mistake, but perfect. Como 149, 150 puntos. Well, I only made 1 mistake. I confused jabón con jamón. Por despiste, no por error. Sí, aquí prefiero el jamón ibérico al jabón ibérico. But at that time, apparently I was confused. That was the only mistake I made. Y de golpe, in one sitting, en una sola sentada, I accumulated 12 credits of the 120. In other words, in 1 hour and a half, in 90 minutes, I advanced 10% of my university requirements through an exam. So my Spanish was good. It was good enough for that. And 2 days later, I returned to the Spanish department in the university in order to see my results. I didn't know the results. And as I was waiting, I decided to kill the time looking at a bulletin board in the hallway. The hallway is el pasillo, el corredor, el pasillo de la facultad de lengua española y portuguesa. And so I was standing in a bulletin board, un tablón, mirando, curioseando por un tablón de anuncios. So I was looking at it, and I saw one announcement, and it said, spend an academic year with SMU in Madrid. Pasé un año académico con SMU, con esta universidad, en Madrid. I said, hey, that's cool. Esto mola. ¿Por qué no? Why not? And so I decided to speak to my parents to get their permission. And so I decided to come to Spain. But I decided to come to Spain because it was cool. Mola. ¿Por qué no? Es genial. Yeah. Suena genial la idea. And all my life, the decisions I have made, personally and professionally, have almost always been based on this philosophy. ¿Por qué no? Suena genial. Hacer Baguantown. ¿Por qué no? Hacer una radio. ¿Por qué no? Suena genial. So I do these things. ¿Por qué? ¿Por qué Onda Madrid? ¿Por qué un programa de Onda? ¿Por qué no? Why not? It's fun. I enjoy it. I'm having a good time. And so that's my justification for many, many of the things I have done in life and that I continue to do in life. So with this decision to come to Spain for my third year of university, the third year of the 4 years, similar to the Erasmus in the European university system, so I made the decision to come, and I came. And as I said, my first contact was Barcelona for 2 weeks, and then Madrid. But I don't want to talk about this yet, this first contact. It's very interesting. The first month in Madrid was very, very interesting. Curious things during the Franco regime. This was in 1972. August 1972, Franco died in November of 1975, three years and 3 months later. Yes, 39 months later, Franco would die. But in the meantime, no. But I have to go now. I've run out of time. But I'll see you next week. Take care.